Kuno Massey set his feet a little more than shoulder-width apart, the right one slightly forward of the left, and pivoted sharply as the Yaki Brave lunged at his bare belly with the antler-handled, razor-edged bowie knife. The knife's talon-like point missed Kuno's hard midsection by a little more than a hair's breadth. The Indian's thrust left him open for a split second. Kuno took advantage of that opening, using his left hand to chop at the Indian's knife wrist and lunging forward with his own buoy, the curved point angled up. Kuno thought the knife's savage tip would disappear in the Brave's bronze belly, but at the last eighth of a second, the fleet-footed Brave pivoted back and sideways enough that the tip of Kuno's knife merely etched a thin red line between two of the Indian's clearly defined ribs. The Brave's eyes brightened with a fleeting look of fear that changed instantly to glee as he lunged forward with his own knife extended and drew a similar line across Kuno's lower left side. The warrior stepped back, his long black hair held back from his face by a braided deerskin band. His round, flat features were tight with menace, black eyes dancing and glittering. Camilla sat by the freight wagon that the Yakis had been pulling across the desert, and which they'd likely confiscated from a train heading north toward Nogales, before they'd spied Kuno and Camilla and decided to have some fun. Five other Braves sat in a circle around the two fighters, passing a bottle they'd likely found on the wagon. A sixth held Camilla on his lap near the wagon, pressing a bowie knife against her throat. She had her dark, worried eyes on Kuno. The Indians had attacked his and Camilla's camp at the first wash of dawn, riding in with the fury of 100 demons, and took the pair by surprise while they'd still slumbered in their blanket rolls. He and Camilla hadn't taken turns keeping watch like they normally did, because they'd been exhausted from outrunning a rurale troop and had badly needed the sleep. Besides, they hadn't seen any Yaki or Apache signs in the past 3 days, since they'd crossed over the border into Sonora from Arizona. Kuno had managed to grab his Winchester and kill three of the Braves before another, galloping through the camp on his war-painted Mustang, had smashed the butt of his Spencer carbine against the back of Kuno's head. The braining had laid Kuno out for several seconds. When he'd regained his senses, he was being dragged to his feet by two Braves, while another pulled the freight wagon into the camp, and yet another held his rifle on Camilla, who was bent forward at the waist, screaming at the Bronco Braves in a mix of her own native Spanish and broken Yaki. They found the pretty, sharp-tongued señorita dressed in men's trail garb quite amusing, and told Kuno that, despite his killing three of their party, they'd set both him and Camilla free if he could defeat the best fighter amongst them in a fair fight with bowie knives. Kuno wasn't fooled. They merely wanted to enjoy themselves further here, before killing him and then most likely raping and killing Camilla. Which was why now, as the Brave facing him lunged toward him once more, Kuno had his next moves clearly etched in his mind. He chopped down hard with his left hand, knocking the Brave's knife down and to one side so hard that he heard the Yaki's wrist break. Kuno bounded off his heels, lunging forward with his right foot while dragging the left one for balance, and drove his own buoy smoothly into the Brave's belly, just beneath his breastbone. He dropped his wrist, and gritting his teeth, angled the knife point up and under the breastbone. He knew immediately that he'd punctured the warrior's heart as hot blood washed over his hand. Quickly, he jerked the knife out. As one of the other Braves was bringing up a Spencer carbine, Kuno grabbed the dead Brave's wrist and threw him at the would-be shooter. They both crashed to the ground, the Spencer falling to the dirt to the right. Kuno dived onto the rifle as the others scrambled to raise their own carbines. Kuno came up fast, the Spencer in his hands. When Kuno had emptied the weapon's 7-shot tube, three attackers had twisted around and fallen in the brush lining the notch between low, rocky hills. Only one of them was still alive. Surprisingly, none of their bullets hit Kuno. There were some scrapes, but that was all.
Here!
Kuno glanced to his right. Camilla stood about 10 feet away, holding up his ivory-gripped .45. She tossed it to Kuno, who flipped open the loading gate and spun the cylinder, making sure each chamber showed brass. Clicking the gate home, he cocked the perfectly weighted piece and aimed down at the remaining Indian's forehead. The Yaki's head bounced off the red-painted rock in front of him. Kuno lowered the smoking pistol and was about to turn back toward the camp when he heard something. Frowning, he glanced back at Camilla, standing where he'd left her and holding her hand up to shield the rising sun from her eyes, her long, dark brown hair blowing about her shoulders in the breeze that was picking up. She'd found her own pistol, a Scofield 44, a heavy piece that normally sagged low on her thigh, but which she now held low by her side. Kuno held up a hand.
Stay there!
He bounded up the rocky hill, leaping the dead Yaki and skipping from rock to rock, sweat dribbling down his back and chest and burning in the slight cut the Indian had opened in his side. He gained the top of the hill and stared into a broad, rocky bowl in the northeast, where gray morning shadows stretched out from the greasewood shrubs, barrel cactus, and tall saguaros, pocked by nesting cactus wrens. Kuno shaded his eyes with his hands, squinting across the bowl, his stomach tightening. A dozen or so riders were galloping around the shoulder of a distant hill and snaking into the bowl, heading toward Kuno. They were small, dark riders in red calico shirts, red headbands, and they were riding short, sinewy mustangs. Kuno ran back down the rocky hill, again leaping the dead brave and landing flat-footed in the canyon where the other Indians lay strewn and bleeding. He ran over to Camilla, who watched him gravely and placed his hands on her shoulders.
You all right?
Her eye was swelling and her lower lip was cracked, her blouse torn. She nodded, frowning impatiently.
What did you see?
More Indians, headed this way.
Kuno grabbed his shirt from where he dropped it on the ground before he and the knife-fighting brave had squared off and drew it over his stout, broad shoulders. Camilla grabbed her saddle, which she'd been sleeping against when the Yaki had stormed into their camp.
How many?
Around a dozen, I'd say.
Kuno looked around for his Winchester repeater, which he'd dropped when the first brave galloping into camp had brained him. He found it hidden in a clump of Spanish bayonet. Setting the octagonal-barreled 73 on his shoulder, he grabbed his own saddle and canteen and glanced at Camilla, who was quickly shoving small food pouches into her saddlebags.
Leave it. They'll be on us hard in 5 minutes.